This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Best practices for getting into the right college and the smartest strategies to pay for it. Education Week on the New Business Hour, sponsored by St. Xavier University for the best in you. News Radio 105.9 WBBM. Here's Rob Hart.
And good afternoon at 12:03. Welcome to Education Week on the Noon Business Hour. It is Wednesday afternoon, May 17th. Concern about money is pushing more people into side jobs. We'll talk about the trend in our next segment. But right now, credit card debt in America is soaring. Let's talk about keeping or getting things under control with Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of the Engage Wealth Group based in Chicago. The website is the Engage Wealth Group. Ed, thank you for joining us today. And even in times of low interest rates, carrying a credit card balance can be fairly costly. And now some of the numbers are pretty much eye-popping.
Yeah, Rob, it is far easier to fall into debt than it is to dig yourself out. And typically what we see is people, this is all self-inflicted. It's, you know, there are time to times when people have, let's say, high medical expenses, but generally speaking, people are spending more money than they have coming in, which is, again, leading to these really high credit card balances.
Now, at the same time, I mean, inflation being what it is, you can do a very good job of managing your expenses. And even with that, you can find that just day-to-day spending, like going to the grocery store or going to the gas station, could put you into that spending more than you bring in situation.
It's an excellent point, Rob. So if you look at kind of the income pie, right, we know how much is going in. And to your point, inflation has driven up the costs on a lot of different items. So ultimately, for a large group of individuals, it's a matter of, do we keep going at the same pace, or we try to look to ways of saving more money? And so the by piling money on that credit card debt at an average interest rate of 20%, that is really not helping you get ahead any way in terms of your financial footing.
And then when it comes to finding ways to get rid of that debt immediately, what are some good strategies, you know, outside of just setting a new budget for yourself?
Yeah, one of the things I'm going to guide your listeners on, just be very careful on those quick strategies, right? Like, we can get you out of debt tomorrow, because generally speaking, those strategies will absolutely decimate your credit score, right? So you want to be very judicious of who you reach out. Go talk to, for instance, the National Foundation for Credit Counseling or the Financial Counseling Association of America. These are nonprofit individuals who are looking to guide you in the proper way to keep your credit score intact while helping you alleviate some of the debt. One of the other things, Rob, as well, are the 0% interest rate credit card games, right, where you take one credit card and you move it over to another credit card at 0%. But again, I want to caution your listeners, because if you don't have that discipline of a spending plan, all you're doing is potentially doubling up your debt amount.
And then what about the possibility of maybe taking out a lower interest debt consolidation loan and taking care of the higher interest debt that you're carrying on that credit card?
Yeah, while it's an excellent strategy of arbitraging interest rates from a higher rate to a lower rate, again, if you don't have that discipline, and let's say you do refinance that into a consolidated loan at a lower rate, and then all of a sudden you start building back up that credit card balance, all you've done is dug a deeper hole. So if you have that discipline, yes, this strategy and the others we've talked about are great, but just be really careful and be very honest and truthful with yourself if you're able to stick on a disciplined path.
Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. Find him online at engagewealthgroup.com. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, stacking up jobs to hold down money worries.
college admissions, college costs, and more. This is Education Week on the Noon Business Hour, News Radio 105.9 WBBM. Here's Rob Hart.
And coming up in our next segment, we'll talk about pursuing excellence at a top school for technology on the West Coast. More people, especially those in their 20s and 30s, are now picking up a side gig to help in their finances. Joining us with the latest is Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm 2Discern in Chicago. Rick, thank you for joining us today. With a generation brought up with Uber and Fiverr and other ways to manage a side hustle, the idea of having a second or maybe your third job may not be so foreign to somebody in their 20s and 30s.
That's true. There's a lot more understanding about those opportunities and what they can give you. But I would also put forward that companies need to recognize one of the underlying issues besides just more money. That's a combination of recognition, independence, and passion about the other side job as opposed to the main job, so-called, that they're in a traditional work environment.
And then when it comes to if you as the employee want to develop a side job or side jobs in addition to your main career, your main career track, what are some things you can do, I mean, in terms of finding remote work, and what are the ethical considerations when it comes to informing your employer about your side job? Should you tell them?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer because every company's culture is different. There are companies that would embrace the concept that you have other things that you're interested in, that you're passionate about, that that allow you to make money in addition. And then there are others that will feel like no one can multitask. All you're doing is reducing your effectiveness to me as an employer. So I don't think it's not a black and white issue. I think that's basically a cultural issue. And are you working remotely? What is the work that you're doing for that company versus the other work that you're able to do? The more diverse they are, the further away your side job or stacked job is from the other, the less both emotional and legal conflict there is in terms of what you're doing.
Now, let's say you have the work, I don't want to call it a work-life balance, the work and other work balance taken care of, and you want to have a remote job, and that's now more of a possibility today compared to a couple of years ago. What are some ways that you can make that work? I mean, is there maybe a distance consideration? You have your job in Chicago, and maybe your remote gig is on the West Coast.
Well, certainly. Then you're really what we're talking about here. Let's be fair. We're really talking primarily about very transferable skills, typically coding, programming, software sorts of backgrounds. I think there's also some people that have strong marketing and sales capabilities that can turn that into a side hustle or stack a job against something else, provided it's very diverse. If I'm really good at getting the word out and creating interest around a product, and my side hustle or my stacked job is very different than the one I do on my and during my regular job, then I can share that. The less you have to be in person for both of them or for one of them, the more effective you're going to be at doing that.
Is it also possible you can turn your side hustle around into a negotiating chip that, like, look, I really enjoy working at this place that is my main employer. This is my career. I like the growth potential that exists here. But right now I'm working two or three different jobs. And if you give me a raise or more responsibilities or even more recognition, I can give up one, the other, or both and work for you exclusively.
Yeah, I think that there's a cultural difference that employers have to recognize, too. You're more effective with millennials and Gen Zs being a coach rather than a boss. They've seen the boss. They've seen their parents have had bosses. They are more interested in being developed. One of the great quotes I heard years ago was, if you want to keep your people, give them the skills to leave. If you're constantly developing them and recognizing what they're interested in. So when someone comes to you with a passion or an interest, say, short answer is yes. You can lever it. You can say, I really get excited about these things that I do. They're unrelated to my work. But I'd like to be more committed, but is there an opportunity? I think you look more as a career path as opposed to a blackmail or leverage. You know, here are the things that I'm getting from the things I do on the side. Is there an opportunity for me to do something more along those lines here? And, you know, I hope that that would be able to, there'll be a compensation attached to that.
Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm 2Discern in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Education Week, pursuing excellence at a top school for technology.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Education Week on the Noon Business Hour, where college admissions and affordability collide. Here's Rob Hart on News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
As Education Week continues on the Noon Business Hour, in this segment we're turning to tech, and we welcome in Jan Lacoste, Associate Director of Admissions at the California Institute of Technology. You probably call it Caltech, based in Pasadena, California. Jan, thank you for joining us today. It is one of the most prestigious tech schools in the entire country. It's up there with MIT. Is Caltech a regional school in that they draw heavily from students from the West Coast, or is it a student body that comes from all over the United States?
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me on. Our student body comes from all over the United States, as well as students from around the world. We are looking for the best and brightest. So probably 25 to 30% are from California, and that reflects our pool of applicants. But really, we are for everybody. We really want to see the best and brightest upcoming scientists.
Education Week sponsored by St. Xavier University. The acceptance rate is 4%, so we're talking about the best of the best here. But if you get into Caltech and you graduate, you are then wired in, one would assume, to Silicon Valley and the aerospace industry in California.
Yeah, our students go everywhere, but we do have a lot of students who go into industry. Probably almost half will actually go on and get a higher degree, but a little more than half will go straight into industry. And one of the great things about Caltech is NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
I was just about to ask about JPL. Is that like is that a satellite campus of Caltech?
Kind of. It's actually a government facility, but Caltech manages it. And what it means for our students is that they have opportunities to do research there as undergraduates.
And one of the cool things, I'm thinking back to the Mars landing 2 years ago when the probe landed, the one with the helicopter, and there were a lot of very young people at the control room at JPL. And how many people in that room on that day in February of 2021 were Caltech graduates?
Well, I don't know how many were, but I do know that one of the operators for the helicopter is a graduate from 2020. And they, in 2022, they let us know that, oh, yeah, they fly a helicopter on Mars, which is just one of the coolest things I've heard.
Yeah, this is something you can do. If you are inside that 4% that can actually get into Caltech, once you graduate, you can fly aircraft on other planets. Some other graduates of Caltech have gone on to Intel, Compaq, Hotmail, all founded by Caltech alums. And on top of that, Frank Capra went to Caltech. So you can either fly a helicopter on a distant planet, Jan, or you can make It's a Wonderful Life.
Indeed. Indeed.
Jan Lacoste, Associate Director of Admissions at Caltech in Pasadena, California. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Still ahead in Education Week, using the art of negotiation to help bring down the cost of college tuition.
This is Chicago's News Traffic and Weather Station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
This is Bernie Tafoya. Four teens killed and one teen injured in a crash in Wheeling last night went to the same high school.
Prince Harry is involved in what's being called a near-catastrophic car chase involving paparazzi. Education Week continues, a strategy to help bring down the sticker price of college education. And if you're planning on buying a house, you'll want to consider how long you plan to live there. WBBM Business, the markets are higher. The Dow is up 416 points. The NASDAQ is up 155. The S&P 500 is up 50. We have 58 degrees right now in Chicago under mostly sunny skies, going up to a hazy, sunny 64, cooler at the lakefront. It's 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, we're learning more about a crash in the northwest suburbs last night that's left four teenagers dead. The details from WBBM's Bernie Tafoya.
High School District 214 says in a statement that the four teenagers who were killed in the crash and one teen who was injured were all students at Buffalo Grove High School. The crash happened around 10:20 last night at Dundee and Schoenbeck Roads in Wheeling. Police say speeding and driving through a red light were primary factors in the crash. The district offers its thoughts and prayers to the families and friends of the students involved. Buffalo Grove High School is closed today because of a fire last night, but counselors will be made available as soon as possible to help the school community deal with its loss. Bernie Tafoya, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams is commenting on a car chase by paparazzi of Prince Harry, his wife Meghan, and her mother last night. They were reportedly followed for several hours by photographers after a charity event. Adams calls the incident reckless and irresponsible. No one was hurt, but the couple's office says there were multiple near collisions involving pedestrians, other vehicles, and even police. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Stocks are trading higher today. We welcome in Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial, based in Chicago. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. And this all seems like a case of debt ceiling deal optimism.
It is, Rob. We saw House Speaker Kevin McCarthy in an interview today articulate the fact that he does not see the U.S. defaulting on debt. What's more important, why you're seeing the markets move higher in the Dow Jones, the S&P 500 up over 1%, up 50 handles, is because President Biden also echoed that same sentiment. So that type of bipartisanship, which we typically don't see out of Washington, has kind of made markets feel a little bit better. But nonetheless, I think we're also seeing a little bit of an input of retail earnings. This is earnings season is wrapping up, and big box retailers, look at Target today, up almost 3%. Yes, they are a little bit forecasting some gloominess, but nonetheless, people are still buying, and consumer strength is apparent. And as you know, Rob, two-thirds of our economy here in the U.S. is pushed and driven by the consumer.
And when it comes to the debt ceiling, I do want to talk about the Target side of things. It is very interesting and tells a story. On the debt ceiling, though, I mean, if you follow this as a political story, you do have political reporters in Washington kind of doing what they call a TikTok, a minute-by-minute rundown of the discussions. And you wonder, given the optimistic tone struck by both House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and by President Biden, you wonder if a deal is already in place and that both sides just have to do some posturing just so their bases feel good about what comes next.
Well, I think a lot of people say it's different this time, but it's not different. It's more repositioning and posturing for sure. And I think all the traders and investors in the world, yes, it's something to keep an eye on. And yes, it's definitely revealing some anxiety when you look at the treasury market, specifically the one-month bill, the three-month bill. But this is not going to be impactful. We do not believe that the U.S. will ever default on their debt. And if that's the case, you know, it's time to buy Spam and bottles of water and get in your basement. So I think this is a lot of theatrics. We work with a lot of family offices in Chicago, and yes, we are staying focused. We're going to get through this. June 1st has kind of been the deadline that the media has put out there. Of course, these folks, these reporters, have to write articles that have to be read, and that June 1st is kind of clickbait, Rob. I don't think that's the real case of an actual drop dead when the government is set to run out of money. So I think we all need to take a deep breath, but expect more theatrics, despite the fact that Biden and McCarthy both said that the U.S. will not default on debt.
And then very quickly, you mentioned Spam and bottled water, both of which can be purchased at Target, which is a bellwether when it comes to the health of the American consumer. who is, they're still spending money. We're still going to the store. We're still going on Target runs, but we're a lot more price sensitive. And now the retail sector has to respond. And Target is also saying, look, if you have enough scented candles, they're no longer in the budget. We still have a grocery store and you can get your food there.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think people have become more conscious of what they're paying for. We've had to endure massive inflation. We look at where CPI was last June at over 9%. So it's not easy putting food on the table and getting the basic materials that we're used to. So Target has found a lot more consumers trying to do the one-stop shopping. But I think what the retailers said, what Target said today, that they're a little concerned based on softening sales trends in the first quarter. Now, that's kind of in the rearview mirror, so there is some optimism, but I think the Fed has really mismeasured. They continue to talk about how the consumer is going to struggle with all the different headwinds coming to the consumer, specifically inflation. But it was a nice report today. You're seeing Target up 3%. This is kind of revealing that this recessionary, all the recessionary alarmers, all the reporters that like to talk about this imminent recession, I don't foresee it. It's not on the horizon. The strength of the consumer is still here in the United States.
Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial, based in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Education Week, bringing college tuition to the bargaining table.
Education Week on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by St. Xavier University for the best in you. News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Hey, it's Education Week on the Noon Business Hour, and in this segment, we're discussing the power of negotiation when determining the cost of college. We're joined by Mark Horner, wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management, based in Wheaton. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And this brings back a memory for me 25 years ago during my college visit experience. My parents and I went out to Los Angeles to the University of Southern California, and they tried to negotiate a financial aid package with a rather taciturn man in the bursar's office, short-sleeved dress shirt, stern expression, and the answer to every question was no. So they gave the old college try, as it were, but they were unsuccessful, and I went someplace else. So what are some strategies you can do if you actually want to channel your inner Jerry Maguire to negotiate a more attractive financial aid package at a college?
Well, what a fabulous intro. So I would say that story reinforces that this is not going to work everywhere. It's not going to work every time, but it is a no downside proposition as long as you can stomach hearing the word no. So I would say during that campus visit at USC, I hope you didn't utter the words dream school or I've always wanted to go here, because that, saying things like that on your visit are going to give away a little bit of an advantage that you might have. But the negotiation process should start as early as putting that list of schools together that you're going to apply to. And so cost is not the only factor to consider, but it's certainly a factor. And so starting by building a list of schools that you think can fit in the budget is a great place to start. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of information out there for parents. One of the tools that we use is Tuition Fit. So that's tuitionfit.com to take a look at. But then when those acceptance letters start coming in, that's when the tables have really turned potentially in the favor of the parents or the student to try and get a better price, and you can make it happen.
Now, there are some things you can do. You could show them better offer letters that you have received. You can tell them you've had a really productive senior year. You can just say, look, this is what we need to come here. Can you match it? And are there some ways you can appeal to the school's mission to try to meet you there? Like, for example, if you do your homework and you find out they're trying to bring in more students from a certain geographical area, you could say, look, my son or daughter can help you fulfill your needs.
So absolutely, and there's all sorts of different levers that schools are trying to push geographically. Actually, one of our clients just got their tuition offer reduced by $6,000, and the feedback that they got was, you know, we're actually a little short on male applicants. So actually, being a male applicant was an advantage for him. So it's great to do homework, but I would say putting it back onto the schools And I'm a big fan, and this has worked in practice with clients, to go back to that number one choice school after you've got the acceptance letter and let them know, hey, you are our number one choice, but we really got to sharpen the pencil, and maybe even give them a number that they need to get to, or show them competing offers and let them know, if you get us there, we're in, because colleges are competitive with each other. And one of the metrics they track is the accepted yield rate. And so what that means is how many accepted students actually become enrolled students. And so again, when those acceptance letters come out, that's the sign that they want you. And that's the time to put on your stern face and your pocket protector and really try and get that deal whittled down. Again, there is no downside. No is as bad as it's going to get.
Yeah, what's the old phrase? You don't get if you don't ask. Mark Horner, wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management in Wheaton. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for more of Education Week, when we look at the top law and medical schools, plus check in with the City Colleges of Chicago. And still to come, how long you need to stay in a home to make the purchase worth it.
College admissions, college costs, and more. This is Education Week on the Noon Business Hour. News Radio 105.9 WBBM. And here's Rob Hart.
Yes, indeed. And coming up tomorrow, we'll talk about the best law and med schools along with the City Colleges of Chicago. When going through the process of buying a home, you want to think about how long you plan to live there before pulling the trigger. Let's tap the expertise of Guy Sakala, Executive Chair Inside Mortgage Finance, based in Bethesda. Guy, thank you for joining us today. If you're not a home flipper and you just bought a house and you plan to stay there for a while and you just want to enjoy that appreciating asset, how long should you stay in that house before you can realistically start thinking about moving?
Well, this is an interesting time to be asking that question, because we're going through, I think, a house price adjustment nationwide, which means after several years of dramatically escalating home prices and appreciation, we're leveling off, or in some areas actually declining. So if you're already in a home, I think you want to wait and see how things settle out before you make any decision. And it's probably only going to be another year or more before you start seeing that. If you're looking to buy now, it's going to be hard. It's kind of a moving target when it comes to home prices and whether it's a good value or you're still probably a little higher than the market would support.
A lot of people move for a lot of different reasons, job relocation, or you're simply running out of room. But in this situation, especially if you refinanced when interest rates were near zero, it's probably a bad idea to move just to move, because you're going to get a mortgage at a considerably higher rate than the one you're paying right now.
That's exactly right. And for many people, you're trading in a 3%, maybe 3.5% mortgage for a 6.5% mortgage. And it means you're going to pay considerably more for the same home somewhere else as you're paying now. And that's causing a lot of people just to sit on their home. There are a lot of people who should move and need more space, but they're not moving because they really don't want to give up a low interest rate mortgage.
Well, let's say, you know, if you're in a house for maybe 10 years or 15 years and you're starting to think, well, maybe, you know, our personal financial circumstances have changed. We're making a lot more money now than we moved compared to when we moved into this starter home. Our family is a lot bigger. And you've been putting a lot of money into that home in terms of renovations and things like that. You know, when does that investment pay off? Is there an ideal timeline?
Well, I think now is the time to pull the trigger on selling on something like that. It's just bad on trying to acquire something else. But a possible scenario is where you rent. You know, if you can sell at a decent price what you're in now and find something that would give you more space or a better location, and you can rent it, you don't have to really worry about giving up the low mortgage, and then you can wait a year or two when I think mortgage rates are likely to come down, probably not to the 3% range, but maybe to the 5% range, would be more affordable to actually go ahead and buy that more expensive house.
Guy Sakala, Executive Chair inside Mortgage Finance in Bethesda, Maryland. Thank you for joining us today. If you missed any part of the Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.